This is Will's Band of the Week for September 6th, 2020. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Nicholas from the Melbourne Bureau.
Hey, I'm here. Good morning, good evening.
And we have a special guest, San Francisco Bay Area indie rocker, Glenn Donaldson. Hi, Glenn.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
We already recorded an interview with you, but we didn't know if you'd want to stay for the whole podcast. And then you said, hey, you have nothing better to do. That's a pretty low standard to be, talking to us. But
well, it is the apocalypse, so there isn't really a whole lot to do in general.
You were just saying before we started recording, you were saying that you've got all kinds of smoke in the air from the fires.
Yeah, we follow this site called Purple Air, which everyone should have on their tab. It's it's all like satellite. GPS of where the smoke is bad, and if you go on there and look at the map, you can see how horrible the Bay Area is. It's very unhealthy.
So
actually, it's getting better. I'm looking at Purple Air now. We're down to the orange level, which is less of a threat than the red level.
Wow. Yeah. Well, hope you have good air filtering in your house.
Yeah, it's become a regular thing, kind of like tornadoes in the Midwest, so we all have air filters now and two kinds of masks, for one for COVID, and we have a smoke mask as well.
Wow. Like a separate kind of mask?
Yeah, so you have your carbon mask, for smoke, and then you have, your COVID mask, which can be like cloth or whatever.
Wow.
This is only in the last few years. I feel like things aren't going well for some reason.
You get that idea.
I'm not sure why.
Oh, man. All right. Well, we can all sit here in our home studios.
Under the music, right?
Yep. Nicholas, how's it going in Melbourne these days?
It's just the start of spring now, so it's getting warmer. It's staying lighter for longer, so it's kind of a nicer time of year. We're still on a pretty kind of heavy lockdown because of COVID in Melbourne, another couple of weeks of that. So everyone's kind of depressed and anxious and, needing distraction. And that's where music becomes so good. I'm talking to friends on the phone like this. So, yeah, we're just getting through it. Week by week is my philosophy at the moment, week by week.
Can I ask who's your favorite Australian band?
Oh, I've got a really bad reputation because we've got all these great Melbourne indie rock bands, and it tends to be other people on this podcast that choose them rather than me. There's a band called Buzz and the Pickups, who I really like, who are from Melbourne. I think Australians often have we often kind of look overseas for the music that we like, and then it's people from overseas that look to Australia for the music that they like. So
it seems
it's a really
exotic,
bad answer. Yeah.
There's something about that.
I'll keep thinking as we're chatting about some other Australian artists that I like.
There's something about bands being from somewhere other than where you are from that they're cooler, right? Of course, you guys are both from much greater musical hotbeds than where I'm from, so we got not a lot here, but anyway.
Yeah, what's Madison known for? What's the big Madison band?
Garbage. Yeah. Garbage is like the only
Garbage.
Madison
oh,
band.
Yeah,
that got,
okay. So Butch Vig is in Madison. I thought he was in Milwaukee, but
he's from Madison, and he's I think he lives in L.A. now, but
right,
he started Smart Studios, where they recorded the Nirvana demos, and there's a band called Disc. That is now, they were on the verge of hitting it pretty big from Madison right before COVID hit. So I don't know what's going to happen with them.
They're a bunch the name again?
They're called Disc, D-I-S-Q. And they're kind of, you know, rocking guitars, a little pavement-y, kind of pop in that vein. But pretty, you know, pretty good songwriters, and they're just, you know, barely out of high school. So I think they were heading in a good direction. They were giving Madison a pretty good name, but there's not really a lot more going on here. We have a pretty good, for a city of our size, before COVID at least, we had a pretty good live music scene. And I think part of that is just because we are strategically placed between Chicago and Minneapolis, or Milwaukee and Minneapolis. So right. So bands can, it's not that hard for them to make a Madison tour stop. So, well, we'll see if that ever comes back.
It's a very pleasant city.
Yeah, you could say that. You could say a lot of things about Madison. So you can disparage Madison if you want.
Hey, Glenn, you could check out this band, Sweater Curse. They're a band who are just about to put out a new album, actually, that I really like, from Australia.
I'm typing into my search engine.
Yeah, Sweater Curse.
That's a good name.
Yeah, I was gonna mention Sweater Curse. They did a, Nicholas got them to do a little promo station ID type thing for us. Yeah, here it is. I have it. It's right here.
Hi, this is Chris.
This is Monica.
And this is Ray, and we're Sweater Curse. You're listening to Will's Band of the Week.
Hi, pretty this good. Is Chris.
Whoops. That was pretty good, right?
I thought you were going to play one of their songs. I didn't realize it was the ID that you were playing.
Just the ID. Well, let's see. We did line up some music to talk about. The biggest thing we lined up was an interview with Glenn to talk about his project Horrid Red. And maybe now's the time to splice in the interview. So let's do that. We're gonna turn it back to ourselves with our interview. Okay, this is time for the exciting part of the podcast. We actually have an actual indie rocker once again. Welcome to Glenn Donaldson.
Hey, thank you for having me on.
You're in an exclusive group of the limited number of people that we've actually done interviews with on the podcast. Most recently,
yeah,
though...
I know you had Jem on, so...
Right. Jem from Vacant Gardens. We'll maybe make a Vacant Gardens reference a little later. But
sure.
We had Randy from No Age on a couple months ago, and that was cool. That was really fun. So usually it's just us babbling, and Glenn, I don't know how familiar you are with our podcast, but we're just a bunch of...
I did listen to a couple. You guys have some good picks, so I'm happy to... be part of it.
We're just
and having you here, Glenn, just helps us to feel like we do actually exist in the world, and we're not just talking to ourselves. So, thank you for you know, exploding our existential crisis.
No problem. It's the service I provide. So,
well, our subject for today, you were promoting over Twitter a band called Horrid Red. So I just checked it out and immediately liked it a lot. So I thought maybe this guy would be willing to talk to us about this album. And so why don't you tell us a little bit about Horrid Red?
Well, I'll try to keep it podcast length. So Bunker Wolf is a German, a real German person. I met him through a mutual friend who... I guess I should start with Bunk is a kind of classic German punk. Like he used to visit the United States pretty frequently to purchase 7-inch singles because there are certain punk bands really easier to track down here. He's a real collector. And a friend of mine met him at a show and they sort of hit it off and we ended up forming this punk rock band just for fun. And then eventually, one time he was visiting here, and I said, you know, I have this other music that isn't really punk. Maybe you could try singing on that. And it was Horrid Red type music, a little bit more pop-oriented. And I just had this flash of, wow, we could just combine these kind of harsh punk vocals, these Teutonic vocals with, like, very poppy sounds. And it creates this strange and new kind of form. So that's kind of how it... all came about. He lives in Germany and I live here, so we rarely see each other. I haven't seen him in many years now. I guess the last time I saw him was like maybe 2012 or something like that. But we keep in touch and we do most of it through the internet. Although he came here and sang once, and we did one tour of the West Coast, that was, in 2012. So in a nutshell.
That's cool. And Glenn, I saw, you know, some little clips from, I guess it was that tour, because it looked like it was about 2012 that you guys were doing some live shows. Because I guess I was trying to get a sense of, you know, who Horrid Red is and what you're about. And those clips from, I guess it's about 8 years ago now, you know, you're like a four-piece band on stage. But it sounds like the album that you guys have just put together is kind of a bit different to that, in that it doesn't sound like it's got live drums. And I'm kind of interested into like what you do. Like, do you put all the music together and then you send it to Bunker Wolf and he does his vocals, or how does Horrid Red sort of work as a band, like particularly for this new album?
It's kind of an involved process, and I actually end up spending years on the records. It starts off where we kind of, hey, maybe we should make some new music, and then I put down very raw rhythm tracks, drum machine usually, and a bass, just a bass riff, and because he's very punk oriented, so I always try to grab him with like something that's kind of heavy and just primal. And then I sort of attach a title to the song in English. And then when he gets the track, he sort of writes lyrics in German inspired by the title, which is in English. And then he sends the vocals back to me in a big batch. And I end up wiping the music completely and rewriting the music around his vocals. So I basically chop up his vocals and like create new songs out of his lyrics, kind of how they produce a lot of rap music, I feel like, where they can take almost any rap and attach it to different music as long as the rhythm is like spot on, as long as they have the right like beat and the right flow.
That's pretty amazing, because wow. It really sounds like it fits. I mean, it sounds like he's singing along with the music as it's being played, but clearly you're sort of piecing it together, but it all fits.
There are a few tracks that I kind of keep intact because I'm like, oh, this one really works. But I'd say most of them, I've completely rewritten the music maybe like at least three times. Because he kind of isn't a conventional singer. Like, he doesn't sing melodies, but he sort of hints at melodies with the way he like pronounces words and things. So I'll just kind of like listen to vaguely the key that he's like speak singing in, and then I'll sort of make melodies around his phrasing, really. But with like computer editing, it's so easy to kind of, I usually keep the same tempo. So his, you know, I kind of think of it as like rap is a good analogy, but also like The Fall, like how Marky Smith could just be doing his vocals over any type of backing as long as the rhythm was good. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that's like the philosophy that I take. And then I add the melodies on top to sort of enhance what he's done, like to kind of make it more flowery or something.
Why don't we play a track and then we can talk some more about it? We usually try to feature roughly three tracks from every album we discuss. So Glenn, is there one you'd like to start out with?
I'll start with something sort of heavier. How about track two, Omitted Prophets?
Ich hab den Tod gesehen, ich hab den Schmerz gespürt und dabei überwunden, was mich so stark berührt. Ich konnte noch entkommen, mir gelang es zu entfliehen, doch dabei übersah ich, was es heißt voranzuziehen, was ist doch Wahrheit und was nur Fantasie. Sind echte Gefühle, was nur Euphorie.
That's Horrid Red from the new album Radiant Life. And we're talking to Glenn Donaldson. And that's just, it's, I can't even imagine. He sends you the vocal, you put all that together, and then I can't imagine what it would be like to be in his position then when you send it back. It's got to be amazing.
Well, I kind of messed up by picking that one, because that one I actually was pretty much, I wrote the music and then he sang to it. So the next one I'll play is one where he never heard the music, but he can hear him singing along with that guitar melody, so that right. He actually had heard that.
Yeah.
But I add other layers that kind of, you know, enhance his vocals as well on that one. So that was one of the more intact ones, but almost every other one on this record is completely different from what he... Yeah, I think at first maybe he was put off by it a little bit, but he just kind of is a very open-minded, creative person. So he's just like, oh, this is amazing. I had no idea this is what it would sound like. So it's kind of, for him, just a big surprise.
Yeah, that's great. One thing I wanted to ask you is, do you know what the words mean?
You know, I don't, which is, I was thinking about that coming into the podcast. I can't even really comment on the vocals. I mean, over time, he has sent me some of the vocals, and I do have some of these somewhere, but they're kind of based around the titles, and they're kind of his version of what the titles mean. And I just write the titles as kind of like a little poetic tag for the track when I'm naming it. And it sort of worked out that the lyrics kind of fit in with the titles. And I don't know, it's just a kind of prompt for him, I guess.
Yeah, the reason I asked is that if you're not an English speaker, then you're just hearing basically the sound affectation of his voice. And we've talked on this podcast a lot about, some of us are a little more lyric focused than others. And I'm less of a lyrics person and just more of an atmosphere person. So to me, just the way it sounds and fits in with everything makes it sound great. So to me, it's funny though, because there could be some meaning that you have no idea what he's saying, but,
yeah, that's what makes it fascinating for me, too, because I am a lyric person, and I'm often distracted by that, the lyric aspect. Mm-hmm. So hearing his vocals as pure sound is just, like, fun to write to, because I don't have to think about that aspect of it. And also, German sounds to us, as English speakers, it sounds very harsh and percussive, so it's kind of perfect for a music that's like based on rhythm, like a hard driving rhythm. At least that's how I see it. But
yes, definitely.
It's kind of funny rhythmic. When you hear German singing sort of pop, it sounds I don't want to say strange, because I don't want to be insulting, but it sounds very different to English being sung, or say Portuguese or something.
Yeah.
It sounds, Glenn, like you've kind of got control over the music, and Bunker Wolf kind of has complete control over the lyrics and the vocals. But is there ever, like you're talking about how he sends the vocals and you kind of recreate the song and then send it back to him, and then he's often delighted and surprised. But is there ever any kind of back and forth? Is there ever like he hears what you've created and then maybe he's got some more suggestions as to something to change, or is he allowed to say, actually, I don't really like that guitar that you put, can you do something else? Or does it just, he kind of gives you his vocals and you kind of do whatever you like, and he always just sort of accepts it? Like, is there ever much back and forth where you're continuing to change things depending on what the other person says?
Actually, no, not at all. He's doesn't have a computer where he can create music on. He has to have someone else record him. So, and he's very much in a very German fashion, kind of dedicated to the punk aesthetic. So he doesn't want to do more than one take. So once he's written all his words on a scrap of paper, he goes song by song and only does one take to every song. And he wants nothing to do with editing or anything like that. I'm sure at times he's probably thought, like, what have I gotten myself into? Because, like, he's like a fan of you know, hardcore punk and 77 punk. Like, so some of this music maybe is a little outside of what he thinks of as punk. But I think over time, he kind of just saw that what we were doing was just different. And he is, you know, I'm painting him as this like very strict person. He is super versed in all kinds of music, but I'm sure there have been times where he was like, I don't know. I don't know what you've done here, but it sounds like something, you know, but he gets it. He totally gets it. And I think that's why it's successful, because it's like, you know, I'm just doing whatever the heck I want. And like when I got together with Clay Ruby as well, he's another person who collaborates with me on some of the sounds. We kind of both have the philosophy of like no rules and no borders around the music. So it starts off as kind of post-punk, but we can go anywhere with it.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Why don't we play another track?
So here's one from the opposite end of the spectrum that is totally divorced from him actually hearing the music. That would be the last track. It's called Camel Lights 2, track 12.
Horrid Red. Yeah, I love the atmospheric sound, and his sort of somber vocals fit that perfectly.
Yeah, that one, I just sent a beat to him and he just talked over it basically, and I made that song out of it. Clay Ruby did a lot of the kind of Tears for Fears-esque piano bits on that one. I was very pleased with his work on that one.
Yeah, I was thinking
it was, it was one of the ones that I really liked, actually. Really liked that one. It was kind of made me think it could do really well, like in an 80s movie soundtrack. I hope that you don't take offense to that, but I think it in a really good way.
I'm an 80s person, so that's 100% by design, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's
you know, I actually had an offer for a movie for a Horrid Red song, but the movie sounded terrible, and the pay wasn't enough for me to put Horrid Red in a terrible movie, so
you gotta be careful. What if you think it's terrible and then it turns out to be a monster smash movie though?
I was right about it. It was totally one of those mafia money laundering movies.
Oh god,
like, you know. Just bad ego trip thing or something. I don't know, it seemed horrible. It was about no, I won't get into that. It's just a dumb story. But it was about cocaine in New York, and I don't know. Yeah. I don't think it ever got made, so.
Well, sounds like good discretion on your part.
But actually, Horrid Red Music has appeared in a few things, including, like, oddly, several, like, surf videos and some, like, commercials for surfwear.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I think it's the surf influence in the guitar. I mean, I am influenced by that, so there's a bit of that twang in there.
Yeah. Well, one thing I notice about it is, and you mentioned that you'll get a bass line maybe to try to get Bunker fired up, but a lot of it to me, and I'm an old hack bass player, so the songs sound, a lot of them sound like they're sort of bass driven. Like a bass line is what sort of starts the whole thing going.
Oh yeah, 100%. Every song almost is written on bass. I have this really old piece of junk bass that's from the 70s, and it just has this really clunky tone. It's just fun to come up with the songs. And because normally in my other projects, I'm a guitar player. And so I think what makes this different from those is that I write on bass. And so you get that crude bass always, that sort of just fun to overdub stuff on. And, you know, it's a good basis just to go anywhere, really, if you start with like a simple bass line.
Yeah, I completely agree. Well, let's play another one. What, since Glenn's doing the picks here, and you're on a roll, why don't you pick one more?
Feel free to pick one. I thought I didn't mean to dominate.
Nicholas, did you have one that you wanted to pick?
Sure. I really liked Radiant Life. I really liked the bass that you're talking about really stuck out to me, and some really cool guitar effects in this one as well. So, maybe we can listen to that, Radiant Life. Maybe after this you can tell us a little thing about it, Glenn.
Sure.
That's the title track, Radiant Life, from Horrid Red.
So that one, it's totally written on a bass line. It's that Arabic scale, so it's sort of a classic motif, and it just a fun one for him to, I think that he said that was his favorite bass line. And I sampled that drum beat off of one of those, you know, I was looking for that particular beat. It's off of an old Roland drum machine, and I didn't have one. So I just went on YouTube and found someone who was testing one on there, you know, to sell on eBay or reverb.com. And I just sampled him testing the drum machine on YouTube for the beat.
That's great.
Love it.
And the fact you could
at work,
and you could find a sample that way that was good enough quality. I mean, it doesn't really sound.
I mean, you know, right? I mean, I'm pretty versed in digital recording, so I'm able to kind of get it to sound how I want. But yeah, it kind of doesn't matter that it's a little fuzzy. It's even better, actually.
Yeah. Well, have we given a good sampling? I think we have of the album.
Sure.
It's 12 tracks and 36 minutes, which is basically the perfect length for an album. And you can get it on Bandcamp, right? And I can't remember. Is it also on the streaming services?
I can't remember if I put it up yet, actually. Oh, yes, it will. Yeah, it should be on Spotify or coming up on Spotify and those various things. Yeah, and it's also being distributed and stuff, so if there are stores, there might be a few that have it.
If there's ever a store again, yeah.
Right, yeah. But, yeah, it's easy to find online.
I think people should buy it on Bandcamp, right? Isn't that pretty much now accepted as the best way to support indie artists?
I love it. It's definitely given my music a boost and a second life that it wouldn't have otherwise if it was just, you know, the other streaming things where you couldn't control the aesthetic.
Yeah.
Hey, Glenn, I was going to ask you if there's ever anything that people never ask you about your music that you always kind of like we've been asking you about the writing process and, you know, recording it and stuff like that. But, you know, is there ever anything that people just never ask you and you're like, oh, how come people don't ask me blah, blah, blah?
Man, that's a hard question. You know, I don't do that many interviews. I've done maybe a couple other, maybe three or four for on Horrid Red at most. So, yeah, I don't know. It's all new. Yeah,
what's it
usually
like for you when you do talk about your music, do you like talking about your music?
I don't know. I'm not sure if I do. Probably, you know, if I'm in the right mood, for sure. I can get excited about it, but I'm self-conscious on a podcast, you know. Trying to not sound like I'm egomaniac, even though I secretly am.
This is a good low pressure podcast. It's fun.
No, it's fun. I mean, it's cool that you guys are asking about kind of specifics about the songs. That's always fun.
Yeah.
So, well, we were talking before we started recording about how you've got several other musical projects. And, well, when I first, became familiar with you, I found an article somewhere and it mentions several bands. Like, you've had a lot of projects and I can't even keep track of how many are still current and everything. So do you want to talk about any of your other musical endeavors?
Sure. Yeah. I've been involved in bands, varying, degrees of, lack of fame, but, yeah, I guess my current stuff is Vacant Gardens, which you guys went over on that other podcast with Jem.
Right.
And so that's kind of, I'm excited about that one because that's all new and fun. And then I also have my solo music, which is just like pop songs, basically. Reds, Pinks, and Purples. And I have a record coming out on Tough Love. And then after that, one on Slumberland. And yeah, that's basically just all me, and I have some guests and things, and I also have a live band in addition to that who interpret the songs live, and yeah, so those are my two main things. I guess the band I'm probably most known for is called Sky Green Leopards, and we put out seven or eight records. That's definitely more pop, kind of strummy pop music, I guess, folky at times. And also, I'm an engineer too, so I've worked on a lot of records. And
I don't think we mentioned you're in the San Francisco Bay Area, right?
That's correct. Yeah, San Francisco.
Yeah. Well, it's just
it's awesome. A lot of music that you're involved in. Is this what you're doing just all the time? Just music, music, music. Like this project, that project, engineering other people's stuff. Is it just it's all music in your life?
A lot of it is, for sure. I do have a day job where I work for a nonprofit, but I work 4 days a week, so I have extra time. And yeah, I sort of built it so I have just enough of a job, and then I also have this. So I've always had a job. I never quit my job to do music, but there have been times where I've done music really heavily, where I was touring and taking a lot of time off from working and stuff like that. But I always liked the contrast. I always liked the mundane work, and then I would totally get inspired to do music because it was like two parts of my brain. Because my job's pretty dull, so it kind of just, my mind would wander and I'd just come up with new ideas. So yeah, I don't mind it. I like being a sort of hobbyist, I guess. Professional hobbyist.
Right.
I love that portrait that you're painting us. You're a normal person by the sounds of it who just loves making music. Is that right? You're a normal person?
Well, I'm not so sure, but yeah. I guess. Yeah.
That's the toughest interview.
The word normal is so loaded, I can't react to that one.
I was going to say that's the toughest interview question you've ever been asked. Are you a normal person? Well,
are you guys normal? Are you normal?
Nobody's normal, really, right?
See?
I think no one wants to say that they're normal, but I think everyone is normal.
Well, you could look at it that way, too.
That's,
yeah.
that's we need more of that kind of thinking.
Yeah.
Acceptance. Empathy.
Right. Well, Glenn, thanks a lot. This has been really great. We're really thankful for whenever we can get somebody of your caliber to be willing to talk to us. Really.
Oh, that's exaggerating. But thank you very much for having me on. You guys are great fun.
Whenever you have another project, let us know, because really I've liked all of them. I'm going to have to go back and listen to some Sky Green Leopards, because I have not gotten around to that.
Yeah, I mean, it's all out there. It's internet land, so.
Well,
you can hear everything I've ever done down to some random cassette from whatever, you know. And, you know, if anyone's done anything, it's out there somewhere.
Yep.
Well, we really like your new Horrid Red album, and I also really like some of that new stuff that you've been putting out as Reds, Pinks, and Purples as well. So thank you for your music.
Thanks for listening.
All right. Keep in touch. Thanks.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right. Very cool. And we still have Glenn here. We thought there's no way he'd want to stay beyond his basic obligation to talk about Horrid Red, but he's still here.
Masochist.
Yeah. For some reason. But we have a couple other things on the agenda. There's a band called Sweeping Promises. They seem to be causing a stir in the indie rock world. It's a lot of positive reviews. Not that I would be influenced by other people's opinions, but I listened to this and I thought, yeah, that's pretty cool. And we were talking to Glenn about, you know, bass-driven stuff. This is totally a bass-driven thing, don't you think, Nicholas?
Yeah, and I might get your take on how this was recorded as well once we listen to some of it, because it was there's a little kind of interesting technical aspect to this music that we'll talk about as we go along. But yeah, bass is definitely a big part of it.
Sweeping Promises are from Boston, and all right, let's play a track. I'll start out number 2, Cross Me Out. That's Sweeping Promises. The album is called Hunger for a Way Out.
I really like this album and this band, guys. Sweeping Promises.
Yeah, I do. I love it. I think Glenn's hearing it for the first time. So we're going to get an initial reaction.
I looked it up and just now, and I have seen this album. Well, several people have recommended it, and I really love the cover art, for one. That grabbed me right away. I'm sort of, if a band has a good sleeve, I'm more likely to enjoy it. And they have a really good sleeve. And yeah, that song was cool. I really like it. Kind of post-punk, new wave influence for sure.
Yep. Yep. Driving bass. So Nicholas was mentioning the recording technique. I read about this too. They used one microphone, right?
Yeah, yeah. It says written and recorded with a patented single mic technique. And then I was listening to it and I was thinking, don't tell me it's like a band and they're in a room with one microphone in the middle of the room and they're all playing at the same time. And then as I was listening to it, I was like, doesn't really sound like that, because it would be just in mono. It wouldn't be stereo or anything. So then in one of their interviews, they basically talked about what they really meant by this. And the band is just two people, Lyra, who plays bass and vocals, Lyra, and Caulfield, who plays the drums. So they got together and they play in this like concrete basement, and they really like the sound of that space. So Caulfield, who sort of engineered the album as well, just set up one microphone, and Glenn, for your enjoyment, it was a Shure KSM-32, a condenser mic, and they put that sort of like in the middle of the room, like facing the drums, and then Lyra put her bass amp sort of facing that mic as well, and then they just blasted it out. So they just record the bass and drums all together just with one mic, but then they use that same mic for everything else. So the guitar overdubs, the keyboard overdubs, even her vocals, all just through this same mic in this space. So yeah, it wasn't all just recorded in one go, one take, but just with this sort of one mic and trying to get some of that gritty sound that was in that space, which is kind of cool.
It's a good way to record. I mean, I've done a lot of that too. You just get the one mic and you get a good room sound. You can capture all the energy, because a lot of the close miking kind of you lose something. And I mean, this is how old rock and roll was recorded, and Buddy Holly and stuff, and really it doesn't really get better than that, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing how well it works. I mean, I guess you can't get the like pristine cymbal sound, right? And you can't get like a crisp snare drum, but you just get the whole racket sounding cool all combined.
But they have some nice overdub touches there, so it's not totally a live thing,
right?
As you said, but then the overdubs were really cool. I liked the backing vocal. That was kind of the hook, that high part.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's cool. Nicholas, want to pick a track?
Sure. I really liked the track called An Appetite. This is one of these songs that you put it on and it makes you feel cool.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable.
Sweeping Promises. Yep, that was on my short list also. It's a catchy one.
Yeah, it's cool drum sound on that one too.
That's what's known as a sick groove.
Right. Absolutely. It's so simple, right?
It's a technical term.
In the business, that's what we call it. Right. Sick groove. Yeah, that one's, yeah, great bass line. I love her twangy, kind of distorted bass, slightly fuzzy bass tone. And
right.
It kind of made me think of like The Clash when they would get funky, or like Wire, but new too, but fresh.
Yeah. Well, I can pick another one. Let's play number 4, Out Again. Sweeping Promises, the album is Hunger for a Way Out. I love that, just it's lo-fi in such a cool way, right? Just an overdriven bass, and it's funny that the bass is sort of harsh, right? And then it's almost like the opposite of Horrid Red, where you have the singer being kind of harsh and then the music kind of smoothing it over. Here you've got the harsh tones and then this like sweet voice going over it.
Yeah, I mean, she gets almost Belinda Carlisle, early Go-Go's at times.
Right.
Really sweet melodies. Yeah, and then her bass tone is vicious.
Right, it's attack bass. It's so simple too. I love that. It's like, I think I like listening to things where I can imagine that I could play it. Just crank up that tone.
That's my bread and butter. Yeah. Two chord song.
Yeah. Very good. Nicholas, any other thoughts or comments on this one?
You guys were kind of saying it, really, just that the music is great, but you know, it's really worthwhile not overlooking how amazing the vocals are, really. It kind of in some ways makes it for me. But yeah, there's something really gritty and really crunchy about the sound of this, and yeah, I really love it a lot. Lyra, I don't know how to say her name, the girl in the band, she's also in another band called Mini Dresses and another one called Deep Harps. So yeah, I think Mini Dresses sounded really cool too. So if you like the sound of Sweeping Promises, you can explore some of their other projects as well.
Another band that we're hoping someday there's live music again, because they'd be fun, right? There's no doubt they'd be fun.
It would rock.
Yep. All right, on to the next selection, the final selection of the week. The artist known as Sneaks. Now I forgot to have her name handy, so we need to say what her name is.
Eva Mulchan.
That's right.
Is that right? Eva Mulchan from Washington.
Right. Maybe Baltimore, or, you know, DC area. I think Baltimore now is like more of the indie rock place, right? Maybe because the rents are lower. I don't know. So I first became familiar with Sneaks about maybe 3 years ago. I saw her open up for Chastity Belt in Milwaukee.
That would have been a cool show.
Yeah. And she played, so it was her playing bass and singing, and then a guy controlling all the synthesizers. So a two-person setup.
Yep.
And again, I guess that's the theme, right? It was a totally bass guitar-driven thing, because everything that she played was, half or more were total bass guitar dominated, and then some of the others had synth bass. And now I think she's up to her third album. I think this one's the third one. And
I think it's fourth, actually.
Oh, it could be fourth. Okay.
Yeah.
You got me with the music journalism there.
No. You keep going.
They're still prominent bass, but I think it's a little more synth-dominated, but still just really catchy. She's a really great songwriter. It's another one where her lyrics are kind of cool, and if I kind of feel like I should have listened to them a little more carefully. Maybe you did, Nicholas. But the new album is called Happy Birthday, and it's got a lot of cool beats, and just the whole thing's cool. I think we're justified on this one, playing track one. I'm gonna do it. It's called Do You Want to Go Out Tonight? Sneaks. That's it's Eva Muhlshahn. And I got two things wrong already. First of all, it is Washington, D.C. There's no Baltimore there. It was just in my mind. And also, it was funny that I talked about the lyrics being, you know, complex or whatever. That's about as simple as it gets, right? One line. Just repeat the one line.
It's a good line, though. It's well written.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And I think... one thing I like about this album, it's a little more atmospheric and reverb-drenched than some of her earlier stuff, and sometimes reminds me of one of my old favorite bands called Saint Etienne, with that kind of... It's like you're out on a city street at night in the rain. It's that kind of evokes that. Nicholas, you're way better at describing exactly what scene the album puts you in. It's one thought I had on this one.
No, I like your description. Go on, Glenn.
I like how everything in the track seems slightly pitch bent, so it has this kind of queasy, dark everything's just slightly out of tune with each itself.
Right.
So it's kind of just, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Creepy.
Yeah. One of her tags on her Bandcamp page, which we sometimes refer to, she has violent vibes, which I thought was good because I kind of feel like I'd call this a lot almost like anxiety music. There's something kind of subversive, something compelling, but something that kind of makes me feel a little bit kind of anxious. And I kind of feel like that's sort of on purpose.
Oh, yeah.
And a little bit like how you're describing that, Glenn. It's everything's slightly out of tune, or there's other tracks where it sounds like she's singing or rapping slightly out of beat, out of sync with the beats and stuff like that. And it gives it this really sort of, off balance kind of mood, which is kind of cool. I feel like she, as an artist, is just like a force to be reckoned with. I liked her first album, Gymnastics, which came out in 2016. And yeah, she's done two other albums since then. So this is actually her fourth album since 2016. So she's pumping out the music. And this album, she worked with Jackknife Lee. Do you guys know that producer? I'd kind of vaguely heard the name. But he's worked with people like U2 and REM, Block Party, Snow Patrol. But he's produced her this album and the previous one. So
I know I've heard the name. Yeah. And if your name's Jackknife, you better be good, right? Yep, you have a name like that.
he's a scary-looking Irish guy with tattoos, but anyway.
Is he better than Switch? Is he better than Switchblade Joe, though?
I want to make some joke about someone with, like, can opener Johnny, you know, down the corner from me, but, you know, he hasn't produced any albums yet. can I pick a track? Is that all right?
Yes.
Let's go. Here's maybe an example of this kind of like darkness that's there. And maybe the lyrics that you're talking about as well, Will. This one is called You've Got a Lot of Issues.
Sneaks. The album is Happy Birthday.
Yeah, the lyrics on that one are really great. She's kind of a truth teller, and it really like cuts through on that track.
Yeah, definitely.
I like what she does with the word society in that song. She carves it up.
Yep, yep. So, it's just another artist that you want to root for because she just puts out great stuff. And pretty cool. I can pick another track, unless you have one in mind, Nicholas.
No, you go. You go.
I think I was thinking two or four. Let's go to number two, called Faith. She's got the synthesizer out of tune thing going there, doesn't she?
Yeah. That one really wanted. I really wanted to get up and dance, but it's like 80 degrees here, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Good beats. Good song.
Yeah, but I love this. I'm definitely going to come back to this one because she has a lot of really interesting sounds and production ideas. I guess looks like she co-produced with old Jackknife. She produced most of it, and Jackknife did a couple tracks.
You don't turn down Jackknife when you have that opportunity.
No one turns down Jackknife.
Oh man, well, cool. I think it's a good one. I think we've hit 3 for 3. We always at the end of the podcast we always congratulate ourselves for promoting good music. So. Let's do that.
Yeah, like you had a whole. It was a good theme. It was bass driven, dark.
Yeah, I think it worked. It fit pretty well. I mean, usually it's just pretty random. I don't plan well enough to coordinate things. But sometimes there turns out to be a theme, and yeah, I think they all fit together pretty well. So, well, we'll look forward to the next Reds, Pinks, and Purples release. Right, you put out a single, right?
I have a single out in Sweden, and then a UK label called Tough Love is putting out a 12-inch with 8 songs. And then he's also doing the next thing, which is Spring, and that's also coming out in Slumberland in the U.S.
Oh, very cool. Well, we'll look forward to all that. So somewhere I think you have the single up on Bandcamp, so I listened to that. Sounds great. So, well, maybe are you hoping to get a live band together once crowds can get together again?
Well, Red Springs and Purples, I actually already have a band, and we play live around here. And right when COVID hit, we were supposed to play in Madrid at their pop fest. And actually, my band had already flown over there. So they were only in Spain for 48 hours and they had to fly back.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it was a mess. But you live and you go on with your life. But hey, that was disappointing. But everyone's excited to play, whoever played music. everyone's excited to get back to playing because it's such a nice way to be around people and sort of get out of yourself for a little while.
Yeah, and it seems like if and when, you know, this can't last forever. So when we have live shows again, there's going to be like such a great enthusiasm. People are just going to be so fired up. So
it's going to be a renaissance. I can't imagine that first show where I have to play. It just seems overwhelming.
Right. Yeah. Well, the musicians and the crowds should be equally enthused about it, I would think. So let's hope it happens at some point, not too long from now. Those scientists,
let's not jinx it.
The scientists need to get working. I think they are working, but they need to really, really keep working. Thanks, you guys. It's been really great, fun.
No problems. And yeah, Glenn, it was great to have you as a guest on our podcast, on our humble little pod.
Anytime. It was just fun. And I'm here if you need me.
Keep us in the loop on all of your projects. And yeah, we'll keep in touch.
Thanks for the recommendations.
And say hi to Jem for us. And we'll look forward to the next Vacant Gardens release also.
I will. And that's supposed to be spring 2021.
Great. All right. Let's say goodnight. We'll talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, England, and Australia. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. All of our episodes can be found at willsband.net. To contact us, send email to willsband@yahoo.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.